We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Rocket can. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, coming up 20 minutes from now from the Green Bay Packers. We're going to try to figure out how the Packers are going to fix their problems that is of late, and we'll connect with one of the best players on the team in Kenny Clark. That is 20 minutes from now, at Zach Gelb on Twitter, at Zach Gelb on Instagram. Make sure you go give us a follow. And you can always give us a call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We now go to the bottom of the fourth in Houston, game two of the ALCS. Astros took game one last night, and this is now a 3-2 game. Bregman had the three-run home run, and the Yankees get two runs back. So it is now 3-2 Astros and what is a must-win for the Yankees. Yes, they do go home coming up on Saturday night for three games in the Bronx, potentially. If you go down 2-0, though, to a team that has really been your kryptonite and you've had no answer for them, you could kiss that series goodbye. And really, with the four teams remaining, 1-1 in the NLDS or NLCS going to Philadelphia tomorrow, this is like a situation where when game three of the ALCS will be Saturday, you have game three of the NLCS tomorrow night or tomorrow. It's just one of those scenarios of these four teams remaining. Padres, you got the Phillies, you got the Astros and the Yankees. Where if I'm looking at storylines here, Yankees, it's all about Judge. Record-breaking season, can he go get the ring? The story about the Padres, what is the number one story about the Padres? I guess if they're able to win, winning without Tatis Jr., they have a loaded lineup. Soto, Bell, Machado, you like their rotation too. Would the story be for the Padres if they won? New manager too. You know, he obviously has a great history in the game, but you got Jace Tingler out of there. Would it be winning without Fernando Tatis Jr. because of the suspension? Would that be like the first thing you think of?
That going all in at the trade deadline.
Hader, Bell, Soto.
So one of the two, I think. You know, mixing, doing, you know, have a great farm system plus to kind of, you know, bring in some great veterans. Overcoming adversity. I think there's no one.
And maybe the start of something really extra special there. Because you look at the Braves, like the Braves, they won last year without Ronald Acuna Jr. And now they got him back this year, and we saw what the Braves did in the regular season. They started off slow, and then they, going into the postseason, there wasn't a team that was hotter than the Atlanta Braves. Now, if the Phillies were to win, there's two storylines there. Rob Thompson taking over for Joe Girardi, that team being down and out, and then finding a way to not only get into the playoffs, but get this far is remarkable. But the number one story if the Philadelphia Phillies win the World Series would have to be a guy that has been in the spotlight ever since he was a teenager, and Bryce Harper finally getting a ring. Because Bryce was on all those teams with the Nationals that had miserable, and I mean miserable, postseason finishes. And then he's in Philadelphia when they're winning a World Series in D.C. with the team that he was a major player on. With that group and that core and some of the moves that they made, he wasn't able to experience that. So if the Phillies win, in the immediate two stories, it's got to be Rob Thompson and it's got to be Bryce Harper. And I think the biggest one there is Bryce Harper, because the player, even though that manager was so important moving over, being Girardi's right-hand man for so many years and then just changed the life of that team, if Bryce Harper wins the World Series, I would say it's probably the third or second biggest story left in the postseason. Now, the one that I'm leaving out, and there's a reason why I'm leaving it out, personally, I would like to see Dusty Baker win the World Series. We're talking about a great manager, a guy that everyone loves, perfect manager for this team, coming off what they came off of with the cheating scandal. And ever since, we've seen this team get to the League Championship Series with the Astros. They've been to World Series. They just have not been able to find a way to win that piece of metal, as Rob Manfred would like to say it, in the Commissioner's Trophy. I do think the Astros will win the World Series, and I do think this is the year that Dusty Baker finally gets to hoist that trophy. And I'm trying to think, is that the best? It may be the most feel-good story remaining. But you look at it in terms of big-time stories, Judge, Harper, and Dusty Baker have to be the three biggest stories and the three biggest storylines remaining out of these four teams when you do look at it.
I feel like the Phillies, maybe I'm overrating it. Also, part of it is getting hot at the right time. Like, we always kind of talk about the difference between regular season baseball and postseason baseball. So it's like two different seasons, because the Phillies, for 90% of the regular season, were an okay team.
They were a third team in that division.
They were, you know, nothing special, not a team you really feared or really they were kind of
disappointing. They were a team that is built the right way. Now, they have questions in the bullpen, and you got to get into that bullpen. And you saw the Padres were able to do so yesterday and what happened. But that team is built to win in this age, this day and age of baseball, where you have two really good pitchers in Wheeler and Nola, but you have the bats and the depth in the lineup with how many guys could hit the deep ball. Castellanos, Rhys Hoskins, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber. They're built to win in the way that baseball's played in 2022.
Yeah, and it's if you can get those guys hot, and even some of them haven't been hot. Like, Rhys Hoskins not been very good. Kyle Schwarber stunk, and they're still,
besides
their credit,
last night,
winning games and playing well.
No, they have been. But if Jesse, if you take your fandom out of it, actually, this could be a good one for you. Because you are a Mets fan. And you are a Mets fan that hates the Yankees, and you're a Mets fan that hates the Phillies. Is that a fair way to assess it?
Oh, yeah.
Would you rather see Aaron Judge or Bryce Harper win it all this year?
Bryce Harper.
Really?
Only because
the Phillies are in our division.
I don't want to be around Yankee fans. I don't care about either player. But I'm using or viewing this from the lens of, well, if the Yankees win, I'm surrounded by Yankee fans. I'll be hearing it 24/7. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. At least Philly, I hate the Phillies. I hate their fans. But you know what? At least I don't have to see them every day. I'm not living next to them.
Do you have more of a hatred for the Yankees than the Phillies, though?
No. I hate the Phillies way more because they play the Mets all the time. But I don't have to. Again, if the Yankees win, I will never hear the end of it. Everyone. What do you mean from who?
What do you mean? Like, from who? Like, who directly that you're in contact with?
Ton of friends that are Yankee fans.
Other than just seeing guys.
I texted one of my friends. Here's a perfect example. Last week, they are both Penn State alum. I'm a Penn State alum. One of my good friends is
a
Penn State alum.
Do you see them on, like, a monthly basis?
Yeah, we talk all the time.
Okay. No, but the different texting and all that. I'm saying seeing them. Interpersonal communication.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're talking about Penn State football. And he goes, oh, what's on the Mets playing? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a jerk
so
move.
I don't want to be in a city that is celebrating a championship for the other team that also resides in the same city that I do. I don't want it.
And that is another Penn State guy, you're saying?
Yes. So we have a common
bond. There's a lack of intelligence level, really. That's low-hanging fruit, you know, typical stupid Penn State kid.
I think it's typical Yankee fan.
Nah, it's typical stupid Penn State kid. That's what it is. But it's not surprising with that institution. Anyway, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Personally, I'd rather see Aaron Judge win the World Series over Bryce Harper, and that is coming from a miserable Mets fan. Aaron Judge is not in my division. And you know what? Go win a World Series in New York, and then come join the other New York team and try to help us win a World Series. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You also have this Thursday night football game where we actually have touchdowns. Alert, alert, alert. None of them have come from the Arizona Cardinals. But we have two touchdowns from the New Orleans Saints, and it is now 14-6. Saints up on the Arizona Cardinals. Do you have any clue how this one was scored? Oh, now I get the replay right here. It looks like it is a Taysom Hill play. As Taysom Hill, 2 weeks ago, had four total touchdowns against the Seahawks. Let's see what happens here. They motion Taysom Hill out to the right. As I'm watching this on my phone, and they had trips to the right. They throw it to Taysom Hill. And then he ran 4 or 5 yards, bulldozing his way into the end zone.
Two passing touchdowns for Andy Dalton. Let's go.
Oh, no one cares about your fantasy. Is this a fantasy football thing?
I'm just a big Andy Dalton fan. I was telling you.
Oh, you don't have Andy. You don't have Andy Dalton. You don't have Andy Dalton on your fantasy team.
I do, but
Andy Dalton is an Andy Dalton starter fantasy thing.
Like 3 weeks ago, he's a better quarterback than Jameis Winston.
Yeah, that's fair.
So far on a Thursday night, he's playing like it.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Do I think there's this big upside with Andy Dalton? No. Is he better in the moment than Jameis Winston? Yes. But are the Saints going anywhere with Andy Dalton as their quarterback? No.
Can I ask you this? If the Saints win tonight at 3-4.
No. If they win tonight, let me just ask you this. If they win tonight, do you feel good about them? Or is the take, wow, the Cardinals really suck? Because my take would be if the Cardinals lose tonight, not, oh, wow, here are the Saints. It's Arizona stinks. That would be my reaction. I think it would be your reaction as well.
No, say the take tomorrow for sure, and the highlight and the focus is definitely what the Cardinals do, either winning or losing.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep coming back to, they have a lot of talent, and they're not, like,
they
they're
do,
not even healthy.
No one's playing.
That's it. So if you can win a game like this, you're right. Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston, it's kind of, you know, apples or oranges, and either way, neither of them are really great at any aspect. Just, you have Alvin Kamara, if Michael Thomas can get on the field, you have Chris Olave, they have a good defense.
Yeah, and
just, they should be in the mix. I guess what I'm saying is they should be, with their talent, in the mix. That's all.
But I'm those almost guys trying to are never healthy. Michael Thomas to be healthy. He's never healthy. And do I think Andy Dalton is going to be able to sustain this for an entire season, the year of 2022? No. The team in New Orleans right now are the Pelicans. That's going to be the team we're talking the most about in New Orleans, is the Pelicans. Zion Williamson last night, back hopefully. See, that's the problem with the New Orleans teams. Can these guys stay healthy? But that Pelicans team showed you a lot of fight last year. They went further than anyone else would have thought. Brandon Ingram's really good. You got good pieces there. And now you need Zion to be healthy, and you see what could happen, like what he did last night up against the Brooklyn Nets. He was great last night. You just have to manage his minutes properly and make sure. Now he's in better shape now. That also helps. But you just got to put him in a situation to succeed and kind of still have the training wheels on him. I know people don't like low management, but that's what you got to do with Zion Williamson. So just going back to your Saints point, because I want to bring up, yesterday I think we got in a very heated debate about the Indianapolis Colts. And you go, oh, well, if they're in the mix because of their record, and they're in the mix because of their bad division. I also want to make this point clear, because you would look at if the Saints win tonight, right? They go to 3-4. And when you only need 8 or 9 wins, you would then technically be able to make a case for the Saints to make the playoffs. And that's what you were basically just saying. There is a difference when you look at a lot of teams crowded in that 3-4 range, 4-3 range, that are either at a game above or below 500. And when I try to separate those teams, I look at who has actually given me a few moments in this few amount of game sample size where I could believe that that's going to continue. And that's why yesterday, when we talked about the Colts, and I said, if the Colts lose, I have a tough time envisioning two teams from the AFC South getting into the playoffs. I have a tough time envisioning two teams from the AFC South getting into the playoffs right now, and you go, oh, well, the records are the same in the East and the North. You're not wrong, but I've just seen more consistency, even though all the records are the same. But I've seen better moments where when it's like the Colts, they don't have these great moments. The Saints, they don't have these great moments where when you look at a team like the Jets, and I don't even think the Jets are that good, but the Jets last week beating up in the Packers, damn good moment. You look at, for example, the Ravens, even though they struggled, I think their mistakes are fixable. Where they could make, you could make a realistic case that the Ravens should be 5-1 or 6-0. So that's why when I look at the team like the Saints and you say, oh, are you going to put them in the mix? Record-wise, yeah, of course they're in the mix. But I just don't see many good moments from this team. Even though if they win tonight, they would have 3 wins on the season. Do you get what I'm saying now when I fully explain that? Because it did dawn on me today when I was working out and I was thinking back to this conversation that we had, how I could have maybe explained that a little bit better and prevented it from getting so contentious, where the two of us were about to roll in the streets last night and just beat the living snot out of one another.
I mean, not really, because my point is, it's not even about the wins. My point is just about the teams itself and the fact that no one's looked good. Like, that's the thing that, like, I
and that's
like
why the tiebreaker is, even though the records are the same, when you have more impressive wins, that's why I think the other teams are more sustainable. than, let's say, one of the other teams that have the same record, but they look at, if the Saints win tonight, they beat the Falcons, they beat the Seahawks, and they beat a bad Cardinals team. Like, does that inspire me to develop any confidence thinking moving forward that they're going to be able to sustain this to get to maybe 9 wins this year? For me, no. Now, if you want to tell me talent, and if they can get the health of that talent, different conversation. But until they're healthy, I'm not going to believe that they're healthy. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's wrong with the Packers? How do they get back to moving in the right direction? We'll talk with one of the best players on the Packers, Kenny Clark, next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Packers have lost back-to-back games. They are 3-3, and they get the Commanders this weekend in Landover, Maryland. Now joining us on the show, one of our favorites, does a great job of the defensive line for the Green Bay Packers, and that is Kenny Clark. Kenny, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Good, man. How you been?
Well, I've been fantastic. So clearly things the last 2 weeks and to start the season haven't gone your guys' way. Just you being a veteran, a leader on this team, what's been the message, what's been the vibe to the guys this week?
Man, it's been great energy around the locker room. It's been a lot of great energy. Practice has been going, very well. So we're excited about getting back out there, on Sunday against Washington.
Do you sense an urgency from your teammates?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Anytime you lose, 2 games in a row, you got to come back. And, you can't let 2 losses, derail your season. So, we're excited about the opportunity about going back out there and playing. Playing against a really good football team and handle business.
Where's the confidence level of this group? Because you said it, Kenny Clark. It's like you guys lose 2 games and then everyone nationally starts to think that like the season's coming to an end, but you still got to stay level-headed. Where's the confidence at as this team?
It just comes from our work. From our work that we've been doing all season. And then the guys that we got in the locker room, man, we got a lot of talented players, and we know that. And I think what it all comes down to is just execution. And that's execution on all of our parts, coaches, players, everybody. I think we got a team that works very hard, that cares about the game, that plays very hard every single Sunday, prepares the right way, do everything the right way. It just all comes down at the end of the day when you step out on that field on Sunday, just make sure you're doing your job and executing, the play calls. And as long as we're doing that, you're going to be good. That's where our confidence comes from.
So you guys feel like you're close to turning this thing around and getting the ship moving back in the right direction?
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
Kenny Clark here with us. How do you explain last week? There's not a lot of times where you see a Packers team lose a game like that lopsided. How did you kind of explain the performance last week?
Man, it just made more plays than us. I think the second half we really didn't execute well as a team, and keep a team around, keep them hanging around for a long time. They're gonna find ways to make plays. So we got to do a better job as a defense at getting turnovers and stopping the run and closing that door and making plays.
Talking to Kenny Clark right now, what is the number one point of emphasis for this defense going into this matchup against the Commanders?
First off, is stopping the run. And then, another thing is really just with Taylor Heineke, man, he's the ultimate competitor, really good football player. And we got to just make sure we have our rush lanes. He does a great job at whether it's zone reads and all that kind of stuff or scrambling out of the backfield. He does a great job at running the ball, so we got to make sure our rush lanes are contained.
Kenny Clark here with us. And when it gets to your quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, how would you describe his leadership skills?
How do I describe it? I don't know. He leads in a different way. I mean, he's pretty chill about it. I feel like every time when he gets a chance to speak, He always has great, like a great feel of where we're at or what point that we're at in the season and or what kind of game it's going to be or something like that. He always got that good insight. You love, you know, hearing that from your quarterback. I think, you know, he's a great leader and you know, he does everything that he can to help us win.
So his message, you still think it resonates with that locker room?
Oh, yeah, 100%, yes.
When you get to Devontae Adams, clearly Kenny Clark, whenever you lose a player like that, it's almost impossible to replace him, but it is the next man up mentality. Do you think some of these struggles right now is this group just really missing Devontae Adams?
Man, honestly, I don't know. I mean, you know, Devontae, he's a great player. Like I said earlier, I got confidence in all the guys that, you know, that we got in our locker room, got confidence in our coaches to draw some stuff and help those guys make plays. And I got confidence in the guys to go make plays. So, you know, we got to just find a way to just be consistent. As long as we're doing that, we're going to keep on improving. And yes, we just keep on improving.
If you guys find that consistency, what do you think this Packers team can look like when you get later into the year? How good do you think this group could be?
I mean, I feel like we can be a dominant group. I think we got the talent. Certainly, we got the quarterback, and you know, we got a talented group. So we got to just you know, stick to it. You know, keep working the way that we're working. And execute on game day, and you know, we'll see at the end of the day what happens.
Kenny Clark here with us. You're a two-time Pro Bowler. You've had a lot of great success in this league individually. Now, since you've been in this league since 2016, where do you think your game is at?
Now I think I'm growing each and every game, each and every day. I gotta just keep doing what I'm doing. I definitely wanna you know. Keep on improving in my pass rush, and I think I'm off to a hot start right now. So I gotta just keep doing what I'm doing, man. Just keep working, taking it day by day, and get better.
Did you feel like with Za'Darius Smith now with the Vikings that means you got to step your game up just a little bit extra more because of how big he was for your guys' defense the last few years?
I mean, honestly, no, not really. I mean, I feel like my game. I mean, I feel like I've been playing at a high level for multiple years now. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Z, he's a great player. He really did some great things for us. You know, but, you know, I love our group. I bring a lot to the table. Rashawn Gary's having an amazing year. He has 6 sacks on the year. He's probably he's one of the leading edge rushers and pressures this year. So, you know, he's doing a hell of a job out there on the edge. Preston Smith, hell of an edge rusher. Jerron Reed, you know, he's been doing a tremendous job. So, our group of rushers, you know, we're doing our thing right now. So, I'm excited about, you know what we got up front.
Kenny Clark, last year when you joined us, you said you still felt like you're underrated. Now, we all know you're a heck of a player in this league. Do you feel like the underrated tag is gone and everyone's giving you the respect that you deserve now?
I mean, I don't know, man. It's, you know, I honestly don't know. I mean, I just, everybody got their own opinion about, you know, who they think is this and that. Only thing I can do is control how I come out and play every day on Sunday. I mean, every Sunday. So, you know, that's my main focus is just focusing on, playing my best game each and every game. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, everybody else's opinion is going to be whatever their opinion is going to be.
You got to be pretty fired up about your alma mater, UCLA. Big game coming up this weekend against Oregon.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, man. We got a chance to get into the top 5. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Are you a believer in Chip Kelly?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Their offense is looking real, real good. Quarterback are looking good. You know, we got a lot of speed on the perimeter, and you know, our running back is a really good player. So, You know, we got a talented bunch of guys up there at UCLA.
Before we let you run, wrap it up with Kenny Clark from the Packers. What's your message to Packers fans who may be panicking a little bit, 3-3 start? You guys usually get off to better starts and maybe questioning this team right now.
Man, we're gonna find a way to be consistent. You know, and it's early. You know, we're gonna find a way, and you know, we're gonna make things happen. We're gonna make things happen. We'll see what happens at the end of the day.
You being in that locker room, we all saw Aaron Rodgers say they have to simplify the offense. Matt LaFleur says he doesn't really know what that means. How do you describe the relationship between your coach and the quarterback?
How would I describe their relationship?
Yeah.
I mean, they have a great relationship. I don't really know. I've never really, you know, been around them, and you know, I don't know. Like, I mean, they have a great relationship, you know, players and coaches. I don't know how to answer that. I'm sorry.
Well, it's all right. Kenny Clark, we appreciate the time as always. Good luck in the preparation for the Commanders, and always appreciate you joining us.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Kenny Clark on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Finding a perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding a suit that's perfect for you is simple with Indochino. Choose your favorite fabric and customize every detail. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And with Indochino's fall collection featuring new colors and premium fabrics, you'll be in style all season long. Indochino makes it easy to craft a look that suits you perfectly. Suits start at just $449, and fitted shirts start at just $89. And you can fine-tune every detail, lapels, linings, monograms, and more. Create a personalized wardrobe that doesn't cost a fortune with options like shirts, casual wear, and outerwear. Want to elevate your look? Indochino lets you make any suit a tux. Design your perfect suit today with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty. Hot take Hickey is wrong. Water is wet. What else is new? It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Jameis Winston may be warming up soon to get into this game. Andy Dalton, one of the interceptions wasn't his fault. But he has now thrown 3 interceptions. When earlier this hour, Hickey was praising the way that he holds on to the football and doesn't give it to the other team. But Dalton has now thrown 3 interceptions, and their back-to-back drives have been 2 pick sixes. So this game earlier in this hour was 14-6 in the second quarter when we were on the air for Taysom Hill getting that touchdown from Dalton. Then there was a 2-yard rushing touchdown by Keyonte Ingram. That tied up the game at 14-14. As they did go for 2 and the extra point convert, the 2-point conversion was good. And then you had 2 pick sixes, Marco Wilson and Isaiah Simmons. That game changed quickly. It's now 28-14, and you would have to think, Ryan. Well, actually, it is the Cardinals. But at 28, does this Saints offense have at least 29 points in them tonight? If their defense holds the Cardinals to 28 the rest of the game? I can't see the Saints getting the 29 points tonight.
I mean, if Andy Dalton's not throwing pick sixes, they'd be, sorry about that.
What are you doing now? Just trying to drown out your
that, I'm trying to defend Andy Dalton here by trying to just drown myself out. To the Saints' credit, they've been moving the ball. It's just, I mean, it ends in pick sixes in the end zone or interceptions in the end zone and 2 pick sixes in a row.
But you're not a good enough team to put yourself in this big of a deficit and probably crawl out of it where there's no room for error. Like, the Cardinals should not be up 28-14 in this game.
Absolutely not.
But they are. So it once again shows you to kind of what I was saying earlier, to expect any consistency out of the Saints this year is a little bit foolish, especially when the Arizona Cardinals are not the definition of consistency. These are 2 bad football teams. But one of them, unless we have a tie, one of them is going to find a way to get to 3-4 after this night. So at halftime, 28-14. When this game was at 14-6,
And that was with under 10 minutes to go. If I would have told you at that moment, Ryan, and it didn't get to 14 all until 2:28 to go. If I would have told you at 14 all with 2:28 to go that this would be 28-14 at halftime, you would have never believed that in a million years.
I don't know who would. Yeah.
And you get two quick scores like that in the two pick sixes, 28-14, Cardinals up on the Saints. All right, Kenny Clark joined us. You know, whenever an athlete's in a losing streak and you're a leader and you're a proud guy like Kenny Clark, you don't really know what to say. And it's very tough to inspire confidence when you know what the narrative is out there. We've had Kenny Clark on this show numerous times. I didn't leave that conversation, though, feeling reassured that the Packers are definitely moving in the right direction. Like, if it's based off his individual play, they'd be much better than 3-3, but that's not the way that the sport is. And quite frankly, we probably won't learn anything else about the Packers in the next 3 weeks that's going to drastically change your opinion. You're going to have to wait until early to mid-November. Because, Ryan, you would expect, unless I'm just crazy here, you would expect them to beat the Commanders this weekend.
Yes, they better.
Then they play the Bills in Buffalo. You would expect them to lose to the Bills.
Yes.
And then they go to Detroit and play the Lions in Detroit. You would expect them to beat the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
So that would put them at 5-4. How you feel about this team now at 3-3? Probably not any different at 5-4. So if you don't feel any different about them from 3-3 to 5-4, you're going to say, Zach, well, then what's going to turn around? You got to go then take 2 out of 3. And this is when we'll really know what the Packers are. Like, if they lose to the Commanders, if they lose to the Lions, and they lose 2 out of these next 3 when you should be able to win 2 out of these 3, I don't know how I'm going to speak any positive words about this team. I would be stunned, and even with Aaron Rodgers, if they have this surprise victory against Buffalo. So 2 out of the next 3 is a very fair expectation. And that would then put them at, once again, 5-4. They then enter a 3-game stretch. Dallas, Tennessee, and that's on a Thursday night game against the Titans. Both those games at home. So Dallas at home, Tennessee at home, and then you go to Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football Thanksgiving weekend. If the Packers, Ryan, who then by the way that we both just laid this out would be 5-4, if they could take 2 out of those 3, you would feel a little bit different about them, I would imagine. Like, that would be the first time this year you could feel positive about this football team because they haven't given you a positive moment yet.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how they play. If the offense still is struggling, you're winning games, I guess that's one thing, so there's a reason to be positive. But
those are 3 good teams. Like, if you could take 2 out of 3 from Dallas, Tennessee, and Philadelphia, those are 3 good teams if you take 2 out of 3. Like, something that at least shows me that you're trending in the right direction. I'm not telling you it's, oh, jump into the pool and then take your shirt off and go, oh, Super Bowl now for the Packers. But at least make you feel better than where they currently are. Like, right now, they've played 6 games. Do you have 1 positive thing to say about them from a team standpoint? They got smacked around against the Vikings. They beat the Bears going away. Whoop-de-damn-do. They're playing Tampa, who was down to their 4th-string wide receiver to start the game, and they barely beat them. They barely beat New England with the combination of Hoyer and Zappe. They lost to the Giants. They lost to the Jets. It hasn't been anything to be positive about. Like, I'm just looking at the bare minimum, something to get positive about. And the only way that I can get positive about something is they take 2 out of 3 in these 3 games coming up in November, Dallas, Tennessee, and Philadelphia. So I guess actions will speak louder than words is the way to properly put it with the Green Bay Packers. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
I cannot wait for 3:30 p.m. Eastern, Saturday afternoon on Fox, UCLA against Oregon. And I got to give credit to Dan Lanning and Bo Nix after that blowout game against Georgia. I never thought we were going to be talking about Oregon again meaningfully in another spot this year. And for UCLA, I like Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I like Charbonnet, the running back. But Chip Kelly has been a big story there because that team is now 6-0. So that's going to be a heck of a matchup. Give a stock up to both these coaches and both these quarterbacks for finding a way to make this game mean something. And you got a team that's 6-0 against a team that's 5-1. I can't wait for this one coming up on Saturday afternoon. Stock up. Last night in the association, Paolo Banchero, he had 25-plus points, 5-plus assists, and 5-plus rebounds. Number one overall picks to record 25-plus points, 5-plus assists, and 5-plus rebounds in their NBA debut since 1969. LeBron James, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Paolo Banchero. Give him a stock up. We'll keep it moving, and we will stay, though, in the association. By the way, for Banchero, it was 27 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. But we'll keep it in the association. And I'll give you a positive in this game, and then I'll probably give you a negative later on. The positive in this game, Zion Williamson. Great to have Zion back. Hope he stays healthy. 25 points, 9 rebounds last night, 11-22 from the field. Good to see Zion back. 130-108. The Pelicans get the job done against the Brooklyn Nets. Give Zion Williamson a stock up. DeMar DeRozan last night. Once again, sensational. And was a tremendous move last year for the Bulls. And it's going to pay off even more this year. They beat the Heat 116-108. DeMar DeRozan, 37 points in the contest. Also had 9 assists and 6 rebounds. Was 14-22 from the field. Give DeMar DeRozan a stock up. It was a great game last night. As Damian Lee for the Suns gets the game-winning bucket to secure the victory. He had the back-and-forth heroics of Luka and Devin Booker. Luka, 35 points. Devin Booker with 28. And the unsung hero is a relative of Steph Curry, and that is one Damian Lee. Give him a stock up off the bench in his debut for the Suns. Did have 11 points. Ben Volen. Trolling Volen. A guy that I'm not a fan of because he once wanted me to pay him to do an interview when I was in college. And no problem doing the interview when he thought I was with the professional radio station, but when he found out I was in with the college radio station, he's like, yeah. I could only do it. Don't want to be a jerk if you pay me. And I was like, Ben, thanks, but no thanks. I'm a college student. I have no money at the time. Well, Ben Volen got fooled by a DM. And he then went on WEEI in Boston. And this clown and this hack, Ben Volen, then started saying there were basically problems with Mac Jones and the organization. And Mac Jones has this big ego. And it all came from a DM from a stoolie, a barstool guy, that was trying to get Ben Volen, and he did get Ben Volen. This was the DM. Buddy works over at Gillette selling season ticket packages. He heard they went with Hoyer over Zappe against Green Bay initially to appease Mac, whose camp made it very clear that he didn't want Zappe to jump in. Thought I passed along so the hashtag haters get off your back. How do you actually believe that, Ryan? And you're a journalist. You're supposed to fact check. You're supposed to vet through sources. Some anonymous guy on Twitter slides into your DM. And then when you're in a radio interview, you go, oh, I'm not reporting this, but I've been told. And you say that information.
Do you remember what he used? Like the phrase he used, like it was person source close to the situation or something like that. It goes,
yeah.
I forget how he phrased it. That is bad.
And they get, I went back and listened to the full interview. They gave him every out here. One of the producers was like, you know this is going to go big. I just want to clarify this. Like, the moment we post this is going to blow up. And he basically said, you guys could run with it however you want. He goes, I'm going to stand by what I'm saying. What a hack. What a loser. Hopefully they don't pay Ben Volen to go on that show. Waste of money if you ask me. Stock down, Ben Volen. He had to apologize today. Loser. Ben Simmons. Is it possible to be done with someone in one game? Like, I was already done with Ben Simmons before this year. But if you watch the Nets last night, how do you think Ben Simmons is going to be anything positive for this team? In 23 minutes, he had 4 points. All right, bad night. He was minus 26 on the court. And had 2 free throw attempts. Yeah, have any idea, Hickey? Want to take a guess here how many he made? Had two free throw attempts in the contest last night.
Please tell me one or two.
Survey says...
Oh, no.
You want to take another guess?
0 for 2.
Survey says... Ding, 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 ding. But he was putting the work this offseason. Big baby Ben. Woof, woof. Stock down to Ben Simmons. I saw from a reporter today, and I'm hoping it's an actual reporter and not one of these hacks that just goes with erroneous information, that some of the Broncos coaches have been sleeping in the facility the last few weeks and they haven't gone home. Just going to get a limb here. Guys, you go home, sleep. Whatever you're doing right now isn't really working. So I know you feel pressure that maybe the coach is on the hot seat. But when you have to sleep at the facility, I think that's an overreaction. And I don't think you're obviously going to be in a good state of mind when you wake up and then try to actually do your job. I would go home and get some sleep. Catch some Z's. Stock down to the Broncos coaching staff. And that's the Shaq Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to all of our guests today. Joshua Perry, he was excellent. Talking college football as always. Good to connect with a college buddy of mine, Hassan Reddick from the Philadelphia Eagles. And then Kenny Clark from the Go Pack Go! We'll be back tomorrow on a big football Friday. Wandell Robinson from the New York Football Giants will join us. We'll double dip in New York. Quinnen Williams, formerly of Alabama, now having a breakout season with the JETS, Jets, will stop by. And Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports with his weekly NFL picks. We'll preview everything you need to know. MLB, NFL, college football, Yankees right now, top of the seventh. It is 3-2 Astros over the Yanks. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.